Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
We are going to talk about our vision today. We are ending our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I don't know, hopefully you've stuck with it, and if you're like me, then you're ready to go eat whatever you haven't been eating for the last 21 days. I'm going to eat a lot of very unhealthy food probably today, but we're ending that today, and I want to do that with just a refresher and a look back at our vision. We're going to talk about some things that I really feel like God's put in my heart and spoken to us about where we're going and what God has for us this year as a church. So I just want us to pray, and we are going to dig in. Amen. You guys ready to get in the Word today? Well, I hope it gets better as we go. Amen. if you're with us online, man, thanks. We're glad you're here, man. And if you don't know, my name's Justin, and I'll be talking to you for a few minutes this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence and your anointing in this house today, God. I just thank you, Lord, for being with us, meeting with us, Lord, in worship. I thank you that you are a God who truly honors your word, Lord. Whenever we call out to you, you are there. You answer us. You show us great and mighty things that we did not know according to your word, Father. And Lord, I just pray you continue to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spirits today, Lord. I believe that you have a specific plan, a specific vision, a specific calling, God, for this church, for this family, for this home, and this community of believers, Lord, and that's going to be played out in each of our individual lives as we take a step to get closer to you and discover what you're saying to us about our lives, Lord. And I pray that we're in this thing together, doing that together, and I thank you for this community of faith, God, and this spiritual home for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen. Hey, if you've ever been pregnant, raise your hand. If you've ever been pregnant, raise your hand. Why are there men's hands going up? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't see any men's hands going up. Listen, so obviously only females can do that. So if you've ever known anybody that was pregnant, raise your hand. Anybody ever know anybody that was pregnant? Yeah. I've watched my wife get pregnant 4 times, have birth. well, I guess I was there when it did happen. But I've lived through that 4 different times. She was a treat every pregnancy, just a beauty to be around. It was wonderful. People talk about watching their kids being born and thinking it was some magical. I didn't experience any kind of magical situation. I experienced like, it was pretty gross. But we can all, we've either known somebody who's been pregnant, or you've been pregnant and given birth to a baby, or been around that, or seen the process that goes through. And here's the thing. Throughout the Bible, throughout the Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, God consistently uses this metaphor of a woman giving birth to describe or to give us kind of a visual picture physically of how God does things and moves in our lives spiritually. All throughout the Old Testament, he talks about giving birth to a promise. He talks about Abraham and said that Abraham was pregnant with the promise when God spoke to him and said, I'll make you the father of many nations. And in Galatians, he talks about Abraham giving birth to promise. He uses this birthing language and metaphor to describe what it's like when we come to know Jesus. In John chapter 3, when Jesus was explaining this to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, what must I do to be saved and to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, no man can be saved unless you are what? Born again, right? Let's all try that again. No man can be saved unless you are what?
Born again.
So there's this idea that God uses what he created physically for the act of physical and human procreation that serves as a picture of how God operates in our lives when he wants to do something spiritually in our lives and get something accomplished in the earth. It involves a process of receiving a promise from the Lord, and then that gets inside your spirit, that gets inside your belly, if you will, and then eventually God brings that out and gives birth to that promise in your life. And I just want to say this from the outset. Every single one of us, if this is your spiritual home, if this is where God has called you, then guess what? We have been pregnant with this vision for Redemption Life Church now for several years. It's been in my heart. It's been in my spirit for nearly 6.5 years now. It's been in many of your hearts for several years. We are pregnant with the vision for what God wants to do in Brookfield, Franklin County, and beyond through this thing that God has called and set up in our hearts called Redemption Life Church. Amen? So give your neighbor a high five and just tell him, I'm pregnant. I know it's weird. Just do it. Give him a high five. Just tell him, I'm pregnant. Okay? Maybe don't give him a high five because that may be strange, but just look at someone and say, you may not know it, but I'm pregnant. Amen? You ever made the mistake of asking a woman if they were pregnant and they weren't? I don't think I've ever done that. Anyway, if you have, congratulations. What's that have to do with anything? Nothing with anything of this. It just makes me laugh. We've been pregnant with the vision for Red Life Church. Let me just share plainly, because I want to remind us what our vision is. Now, what is vision? What is the essence of vision? Vision is really simple. Vision is what we want to see happen as a result of what we're doing. Amen? Vision, our vision is what we hope to see with our eyes because of the activity involved in our lives. Amen? That's vision, what we want to see. Say, vision is what we want to see. Say, vision is what we want to see. Okay, I'm going to need, bring some coffee out here from the coffee bar or something. You guys, we need to wake up a little bit. Amen? Let's stay with me. Stay with me. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay with me. It's important stuff. Our vision at Red Life Church is simply this. What we want to see is for people to come home to a place of freedom and encouragement. That's our vision. That's all we want to see. It's for people who are not here yet to come home to freedom and encouragement. Underscore in parentheses that freedom and encouragement is in Christ. Amen? That's what we understand. But come home to freedom. Everybody say, come home to freedom and encouragement. Say it again. Come home to freedom and encouragement. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Word of God says this. It says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners. Listen now, he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life and spiritual death. That one phrase, he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. Our home is in Christ, amen? And God has called us to be a spiritual home where, and this is the caveat of that vision that we cannot miss and we cannot understate, and we have got to understand if we are going to see that vision become reality. Jesus died to bring sinners home. So that means that he gave his life to bring people home who weren't home yet. That's right. And we are to be a home for people who aren't home yet. So that creates this kind of weird tension where once we get home, we then need to immediately turn our focus and our look outward to find other people who aren't home and make sure that we are able to create a safe place for them to come home to as well. Amen? So that's what we want to see. Say, what's the vision of Red Light Church? What is this all about? I like the music. I like the preacher. I like the building. It's pretty cool, whatever. I like the people there. Listen, but what is it about? What are we here to do? Are we just here to sing some songs once a week and get a weekly dose of the Word of God and a little encouragement? Well, that's part of what we do, but really all of that other stuff is simply to see and to invite people to come home to freedom and encouragement. Amen? Everybody say, come home to freedom and encouragement. So there's this idea that we're supposed to come home. Freedom, freedom. John chapter 8, verse 36. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Or if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That is the state that God has created each and every one of his children to live in is freedom. Amen? Is freedom. And I shared this a little bit. I'm not going to go into the whole thing because I shared this over two different sessions over this weekend at our Freedom Weekend. If you didn't make it to Freedom Weekend, listen, the next time you hear anything involving Freedom Weekend, you need to be here. We're going to do another one later this year, and it's going to be powerful. And this we had a awesome time this past weekend, man, in God's presence. And God really ministered to people's hearts and souls. So that's not a one-off. That's something that's going to be a part of our process and part of what we do several times throughout the year. But listen, freedom, freedom, freedom. It is for freedom. Galatians 5:1 says it is for freedom's sake that Christ has set you free. Now hear me close. When we talk about freedom, we often think of all this stuff that I need to get free from. So I've got this addiction I need to get free from. I've got this past hurt I need to get free from. I've got these past hangups I need to get free from. I've got this guilt and this shame I'm trying to get free from. And that is a part of freedom, but you need to understand that not only is the freedom that Jesus is talking about, it's really not as much freedom from a bunch of junk as much as it's freedom to be something, be what God has called you to be in Christ. And a lot of times we focus on the freedom from, I need to get over this, I need to get over that, I need to shake that weight, I need to shake that thing. And we look so much backward at what we're trying to get free from that we forget to turn our eyes towards Jesus and recognize that he doesn't just want to free you from something, he has freed you to something. He's freed you to an abundant life in Christ. He's freed you to know Jesus intimately and personally in your soul. He's freed you to experience the presence and the power of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He has freed us too. And we want to see people come home to Christ and come home and experience what they have been freed to become in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Freedom and encouragement. Exodus chapter 6, verse 9. Can you put that one on the screen for me? I want to read this to you. It says, Moses reported this. What is this that the Moses was reporting? Moses, just leave it up there for a few minutes. Moses, in the book of Exodus, this is before he ever goes to Pharaoh. Moses has spent 40 years in the desert. He's about 80 years old. The first 40 years of his life he spent in Egypt living as Pharaoh's son. The next 40 years of his life he spent in the wilderness learning how to take care of the flock. And the third part of his life, God sent him back to Egypt to bring freedom to God's people. But here's what happens. So Moses has spent 40 years in the wilderness. God shows up in the burning bush in Exodus 3, says, hey, I want you to go back to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. They have this little back and forth. Moses is like, I can't do it. God's like, you're gonna do it. Moses is like, no, I can't do it. And God's like, no, you're gonna do it. And Moses is like, okay, I'll do it. So he goes. But before he goes to Pharaoh, he travels back to Egypt, goes to his people, the Israelites, and he tells them what God has told him. Now think about this. They have been slaves for 400 years, so about 10 generations of slavery. That's all their identity is. And he comes to them and says, hey, God has spoken to me. I heard the Lord. He showed up like a fire in this bush, but the bush wasn't burned up with the fire, and God spoke to me. We may think, man, you're crazy, or if you believe in that Moses is legit, you think, man, thank God. And he says, God has spoken to me, and he says, he's about to set us free. Get ready. Pack your bags. God's going to work in Pharaoh's heart. We're going to be set free to be the people God's called us to be. But this is what it says. It doesn't say they shouted and rejoiced. It doesn't say they started packing their bags. Look what it says here. It says, Moses reported this, what God said, to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. God has called us to be a place of encouragement. Why? Because often, before someone can receive what God is saying about their future, they have to first be encouraged that there even is a possibility of a better future than what they've experienced so far. Amen? And we've got to understand, see, we see people, and you invite people to church, and they say no, and they say no, and all of a sudden you get frustrated, you get aggravated. What you have to recognize is that often there has been such discouragement and bondage from the enemy and from the world and from their past and from their life that there's a bunch of discouragement that we have first got to deal with before they're even ready to receive the seed of the gospel and the word of the Lord. Right. Amen? So before somebody's ready to give their life to Jesus and go, yes, I'm going to receive the message of the gospel, they might need to have somebody cheer them up a little bit first. They might need to have somebody smile at them and hug them a little bit and love on them a little bit first and give them a high five and make them feel good about themselves a little bit first so that they're ready now to receive this is what God's saying about your life. Amen? And I know that God has called this house to be such a place. Amen? A place of encouragement. So we want to see people come home to freedom and encouragement. We've got to understand this, guys, when it comes to discouragement. This is real big for us. You hear this word encouraging all the time. Listen to me close. Past discouragement can be the biggest roadblock to believing God for something new. For many times, it's not that people are refusing Jesus. It's that they've experienced such letdown and discouragement in their life that it makes it very difficult for them to get over that discouragement so that they can have the faith to believe God for something else. And so we've got to, if we're gonna have people come home and receive Christ, guess what? We're going to have to deal with the discouragement that's holding them up from believing God for something better than they've known. Amen? Amen? Maybe even in your life, this morning, right now, there's some discouragement the Holy Spirit wants to deal with. There's some discouragement here as we end our time of prayer and fasting and we look forward to a new year. There may be some discouragement that the Lord wants to take off your shoulders and for you to leave on at the altar this morning so you can believe God for something new. And if that's you and if that's speaking to you this morning, let me encourage you. Listen to me. No matter what you've experienced, no matter what you've been through, listen to me. No matter what you're going through right now, friend, it does not always have to be that way. God has something better for you. Amen? Amen. So we want to deal with the discouragement, the roadblocks that keep you from believing, okay? So that's our vision. That's what we want to see. Come home to freedom and encouragement. Come home to freedom and encouragement. We are a home for people who aren't home yet. So what are we doing? What is the purpose of that? What is our why? What is our activity? What are we doing as we see? Here's our mission, okay? We have vision and we have mission. What is our mission? Our mission is real simple too. Mission is what happens as our vision becomes reality. What takes place? What's the activity? What's going on as we see people come home? Here is what we're here to do. This is the why. Our mission is very simple. It's one word. You can remember the mission of Red Life Church. We say, well, what's this church about? What are you here to do? Here's what we are here to do. It's one word, red. Everybody say red. Everybody say red. We're here to reach, encourage, and disciple. Red. It's real simple. Everything that we do should fall under one of those categories, either reaching people who aren't home yet and inviting them home, encouraging people so that they can believe for something greater in their life for God, discipling people to take their next step. That's what it is. Reaching. Let's talk about reaching for just a second. Let me read a scripture here just so you don't think this is just something I'm making up. This is just our directive from Jesus in the Bible. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 and 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is Jesus' mission to us as believers, to the church. Not just this church, but the church globally. Amen? And for every person that is part of that church, from then until Jesus comes back, that's what we're to do. Go make disciples. We just say that. We just sum that up in one word, red. We're to go. We're to reach. We're to reach. Where are we to reach? Who are we to reach? How are we to reach? Well, those are all things that are up for debate. Those are all things that make that God gives different values and assigns different churches and has gifted different people, different churches to do in different ways. What we believe we are called to do, what we know we are called to do for this house is this. We are to reach up and to reach out. Everybody say that. Say reach up, reach out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, pray this way that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus instructs us through prayer and worship that we are reaching up to heaven in God and creating an atmosphere where the kingdom of heaven can be felt and be realized and be experienced on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You say, well, that's a real high-minded, that's a real big goal and a real big dream, Justin. I don't really know if that's possible. Do you honestly think Jesus would instruct his people to pray something that he didn't intend on making a possibility? Right. If he said, pray this way, believe this way, I've got to believe that he intends on making that happen. Amen. Amen. We do not have to wait to die and go to heaven to experience part of heaven on earth. It's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be reaching up to God in prayer and worship that his kingdom could come on earth as is heaven. We also want to reach out. Reach out to who? We're going to reach out to the unchurched and we're going to reach out to the dechurched. Two different people. Unchurched are people that really have never experienced church, never experienced Jesus before. De-churched are people, those are the people that really, we are really called to probably find more of those than we will unchurched in this community. De-churched people, people who have been discouraged, people who have been to church and maybe it just felt like it wasn't for them, or been hurt by church, or been abused or bullied in church and for whatever reason got out of it. Guys, that's who God has called us to reach out with patient arms of love, the love of the Father, because God still loves them and wants them. Amen, somebody. So we're to reach up and to reach out. Okay? Amen? We're to reach. We're in to encourage. We're to encourage. Encourage. What does encourage mean? Encourage simply means to lift up. It means lifting up. It means a lifting up. My goal every single Sunday morning, and our goal together as a church home and a church family, should be this, that every time we come together, that people's eyes are lifted up from their present circumstances and see a God of limitless love and possibility who is ready to intervene in their behalf and in their lives. Amen. But to do that, we might need to lift up once in a while. Right. Amen? Everybody say encouragement is lifting up. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Look at what this instruction is to us. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Therefore, this is a command from the Bible, from the Apostle Paul to us, and the command is this. We are to come, when we come together, we should be encouraging one another. Amen? Everybody say, encourage one another. Say it again, encourage one another and build each other up. Okay, so we're to reach, we're to encourage, we're to disciple. What is discipleship? Okay, if you ever get confused on what we're here to do, it's right over here on the wall in a big banner, okay? Reaching, encouraging, three different banners, three big ones right there. Okay, discipling, what's discipleship? What's discipleship look like? Discipleship is a fancy church word, and it simply means this, taking your next step in God. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care whether this is your first time in church or whether you just gave your life to the Lord a few weeks ago or whether you've been serving the Lord for 60 years. Friend, listen to me. There is always a next step for you. That's right. There was, until we die and get to heaven, we will have another next step. Okay? What if, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, the way he kind of described this, he said, one thing I do, or he said, brothers, I do not consider myself having laid hold of the promise yet. Paul said that about his life in Ephesians or Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, I do not consider myself to have laid hold of everything that God has laid hold of me for yet. This is Paul. Paul wrote almost all of the New Testament. Paul was the chief apostle to the Gentiles. Paul planted churches and saw literally hundreds of thousands of people come to faith in Christ and come to know Jesus because of his activity, because of his ministry. And Paul said, I haven't gotten everything accomplished yet that God wants to do. So what's he saying? He's saying, there's still another step I can take until I get to heaven. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, there's another step. So what we want to do, what we are called to do, as we are a home and invite people to come home to Freedom and Encouragement, that discipleship process is simply, let's find your next step. That's why we have Growth Track. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have Freedom Weekend. That's why we have all the things that we do. It's all about you need to find your next step in Christ. Amen? And we want to be a family that comes around each other and comes together as a community of faith and says, let's discover that next step together. Amen? Now, that's our vision, that's our mission, that's what we want to see, that's what we're here to do. I'm going to talk about a couple of things this year that we're going to be looking at to make this thing better, and some emphasis that I feel like that we're going to do to help us better do this vision and help us accomplish this vision and mission the best way that we possibly can. Just some things that the Lord has put in my heart. Amen? You ready? I got four things I want to share with you. Number one, the first thing that we are going to seriously begin investing in and probably retooling a little bit, and I just want to pour into it and make it the best we can, is this. We have got to invest more in our kids' church and our kids' departments. Amen? I believe, I was a youth pastor for a very, very, very long time, and so youth ministry and kids' ministry has always been very close to my heart, but here's the thing we've got to recognize, and I hated hearing this as a youth pastor, is that, well, they're the church of tomorrow. Friend, let me tell you something. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of right now. Amen? And my vision, my goal, my heart for Red Life Church and our kids' ministry is I want your kids and your grandkids to absolutely beat your door down every Sunday morning for you to get up and take them to church, because we make our kids' church the most inviting, the most friendly, the most fun, the most amazing time of their week. Amen? And I'm so thankful for the volunteers that sacrifice their time getting fed the Word of God in this in our services, that go back there and to say, you know what, we're gonna pour into some kids and we're gonna teach them the Word of God. But so I'm not saying this to say we've done a bad job. I'm just saying I want us to even do better. We're gonna pour more into that and invest more into that. Amen, amen. So that's gonna be an area of emphasis this year that we're going to update. We're going to make it. I want to see our kids' church be the best part of our kids' week. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Second thing we're doing, we're making a change to our student ministry, okay? We are moving. We currently do our youth ministry every Sunday night at 6 p.m. What we are going to do to create, because you know what? Here's the thing. We want to be a light, as we're a place of encouragement, that means we want to be a life-giving ministry. I do not want church, I do not ever want anything we do as a church to feel like it is a drain on your family time. Amen? We are busy, busy, busy people. And listen, sometimes I think we use that as an excuse to just do stuff we don't want to do. Well, I'm too busy. We all do that. We're all guilty of that. Amen? Amen? So one thing I've recognized a long time ago, now you're going to ask me to do something. I'm going to say I don't have time for it, and you're going to know what it means. Often, but we're all guilty of this. Often we say I don't have time, and it really just means I don't want to do it. Because I always do this. I always make time for the stuff I really want to do. Right? I really do. That's fine. You don't want to do it? That's fine. Just you know, we should probably just be more. It's just nicer to say, yeah, I just don't have time. So I get, but I also recognize that we are all busy. I was adding up this week. We have had. Between school activities and kid stuff and church stuff, the last like 3 weeks, my family, we've had something going on every single night of the week. Maybe there may have been two nights in the last 3 weeks. There really hasn't been something that we had to go do. And I know I'm not the only one that lives a schedule like that. We all do. So I do not ever want Red Life Church to be a chore. Anything we do to be something like, oh, I got to get out again. I got to get the kids. So we are going to move our takeover schedule to two Sunday nights a month, the first and the third Sunday night of the month, beginning February. So the caveat of that is we have our Super Bowl party next Sunday, so that'll be the first. So the next time this schedule starts, the next takeover service will be the third Sunday night of February. Okay? Why are we doing that? Why? Because we value your time at home with your kids. Amen? And we also want to make takeover a special event that we can make those services a little more impactful, maybe just a little bit more special, rather than just something that's just something I got to go to every week. Understand what I'm saying? Amen. And so there's twofold there, but I think it'll help us reach better. The third thing we're going to be looking at this year, I don't have a laid out plan for you. I'm just telling you, I'm just sharing some vision that God's put in my heart. We have said forever that we are called to reach up, to reach out to Brookville, Franklin County, and beyond. Amen? I believe God has called us to reach beyond even the borders of just our own town and our own community for Jesus. Amen? Amen, somebody? And we have tools available to do that. This year, actually, I know Tia Wolf and Judy Drake, Tia's serving in the nursery today, and Judy's out of town. They're planning a mission trip. I know there's already been a couple planning meetings about that we're going to be on a missions trip to Nicaragua at some point, probably in the fall of this year. We're going to continue to look at how to use and utilize social media to reach people. Right now, I don't know how many people are watching. There's always several people watching online every Sunday. Usually live, there'll be anywhere from maybe three, sometimes as much as a dozen or more people watching live. But throughout the week, there are people that get in there. Usually that our live service feeds has into the several hundreds of views and people interacting on that and getting fed the Word of God. I know many of you will check in on that when you're not here, and that's a tool that we want to use to reach people. Here's the deal. Listen, guys, we got to recognize that in our year of 2019, which I can't even hardly, I mean, that's, if you, I mean, even as, and I know I'm not old, as young as I am, the year 2019 feels like some kind of futuristic date way off in the future still, saying that, right? Like, we should all be robots and have robot servants and have flying cars at this point, right? We still don't. But I do have a little robot servant that vacuums the house every night, though. It's pretty cool. She's somewhere in between my wife and my children on my list of people I like in my house. No, I'm just so anyway. So we got to recognize this, that listen, in our 20, listen, how many of you order something on Amazon this week? How many, anyone do any Amazon shopping this week? Only three people order anything on Amazon this week. Really? Really? In this house? Okay. How many have ordered something on Amazon this month, maybe? More people? Or any sort of online shopping at all, okay? Yes, I love it. Amazon is the best, right? It's the largest retailer in the world. Guess what? The idea for me, especially living 30 miles from a Walmart, the idea of getting in my car and driving to a Walmart or a grocery store, or well, I still got to go get groceries, but driving somewhere to get something when I know that if I can have the patience to wait 2 days for it, I can just order it online and probably find it cheaper, that's the best. Literally changed my life. Changed our whole world, right? So listen to me, the idea that we're going to only do church an hour, that we're going to tell people, come home to a place of freedom and encouragement, but this place is only available from 10:30 to noon on Sunday mornings, that is a really antiquated idea and a really antiquated way to reach people for the gospel in the year and the time that we live in. Amen? We have these cameras and we have technology. We have ability to utilize that and to share the message of Jesus and invite people to come home to freedom and encouragement in Christ, whether or not they can ever actually come home to this building. And we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to use that as a tool to reach. Another thing that we are looking at this year, and we will probably make a decision on, we will have a plan sometime. It'll be later in the fall before we actually have a plan. But I'm just sharing my heart with you guys and what I'm telling you I feel like God's put on my heart to do. One thing, the area that God's been speaking to me about how are we going to reach more people, okay? And listen, that's what it's about. It's not about filling up a building. It's not about just growing a big church. Listen, guys, it's about reaching people. It's about giving people an opportunity to come home to freedom and encouragement, to come home to Jesus Christ. Amen? So, what I've been asking myself is this. God, is it your will for us to reach people and reach 300 people in one location at one time a week? Or possibly, do you have a vision for us to reach 300 or 400 people in two or three locations with some smaller numbers at different times in the week? Amen? There are thousands of people that we could reach for Jesus within 30 to 40 miles of here. Amen? And here's the thing. If we're talking about reaching people who don't know Jesus, guess what? Just like I don't want to drive 30 miles to go to Walmart to get what I need, guess what? An unchurched person who's not going to church is probably not going to drive 30 or 40 minutes to come to church when that's not part of their lifestyle, part of what they do. Amen? Now, if you are saved, you are following Jesus, and you're part of the mission, you will make that track, and you will find a church that's alive, and that's awesome. And I know we have, I'm looking at a couple of people right here on this side. You guys drive 30, 40 miles to be here, and we love that. But we got to understand that the people that God's called us to reach, they're probably not going to do that. Your unsaved neighbor that lives 45 minutes from here is probably not going to get up and drive almost an hour on Sunday morning to go to a church when that's not part of his lifestyle. Amen? So we are going to explore, and I'm exploring heavily, the idea of possibly launching later this year into next year, coming up with a plan to possibly open up one to two more Red Life sites, Red Life locations, so that we can become possible. Again, I'm not saying this 100% what I'm doing. I'm saying this is what God's put in my heart to do. Amen? Because the question comes back. And I know, you're going, well, we're not even filling this building up yet. Why would we try to get another one? Listen, it's not about whether or not we're filling up the building. It's about whether or not we're going to reach people and what's the best way to do that. And is the best way to do that to tell everybody within an hour drive of here, hey, you got to come here to this place at this certain time? Or is the best, or did Jesus say, go to where they are and invite them to come home? Amen. Amen? Okay? So these are questions we're looking into. You might very well hear later on in the year, this fall, of a plan of whether or not that's going to happen or not and how we're going to do that. Amen? So I'm sowing the seed in your heart now, because guess what? If that's where God leads us to go, God might speak to some of your hearts and say, I want to be a part of helping that other campus. I want to be a part of helping that other site to get off the ground. You might. Never know. Amen? Follow me so far? The fourth thing. These three, the first three have been very practical things. This fourth thing is an area of what you're going to hear me talk about probably quite a bit over the course of this year, because I really feel strong it's where God's called us as a church family. We all have our own individual steps that we need to take, but also as a community, as a family, as a body of believers, I believe God has next steps for us to take as a body. And I believe the next step God has for us is that it is for us to be a body of believers that are fully empowered and engaged in the work and operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? Listen to me. The Holy Spirit wants to move in and through us in this community. Amen? But if we are not open, if we are not empowered, if we are not understanding, and if we are not hungry for God enough to say, God, however you want to do it is fine, let's do it. God, I want to see your power move. And guess what? We've got to address that. Amen? My heartbeat is, are you just want us all to talk in tongues? I could give two flips if you talk in tongues. What I care about is you finding your spiritual gifts and using the gifts that God has empowered you to use to reach people, encourage people, and disciple people. That's what I care about. Amen? I want to see the Holy Spirit poured out in a special way. Now, I know this has all been very, very exciting. But this is important that we all are on the same page and have an understanding of what God's called us to do if we're going to move forward together and keep going. If we want to be more than just a collection of people that come, see, I believe God's called you and I, God's called us to be more and the church to be more. And I don't mean just Red Life Church. God has called the church to be more than just a group of people that come together, sing some songs, and get a Bible lesson every week. God has called us to be a force in our community, in the earth, in the places that he's planted us to build the kingdom of God. Amen? And for us to move beyond just being some people that come together and see each other once a week and hear a Bible lesson, listen, we've got to have a vision for what God wants us to do and understand why God wants us to do it. Amen, somebody? Okay. Let me just speak prophetically to us for a second. Because this is what I believe God is really spoken to me this year. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 1 through 3 says, "Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth, break into loud and joyful song. O Jerusalem, you have never been in labor, for the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities." This is what I believe. I started off this talk saying we've been pregnant with this vision for what God wants Red Life to be. That vision has changed very, very insignificantly. The only area that vision and mission has changed is last year when the Lord spoke to us about being a home, moving from a house to a home. Remember that last year? That's the only thing we've ever added to the vision in 6 years. This is what I'm telling you that I know God has witnessed in my spirit. And it happened about four weeks ago in prayer, on a Wednesday night prayer night. Okay, I'm not saying I heard an audible voice from God. I'm not saying I saw a vision. I'm just saying I had an inward witness in my spirit. And God spoke to me and said, "This year, it's time to give birth." Amen. Amen. Right. And here's the conversation I had. I said, "God, I thought we gave birth 5 years ago when we launched this church." And what the Lord spoke to me was, all we did there was conceive it. That was the conception of the vision. And we've been in labor for a couple years. But friend, I believe that it's time to give birth to the promise that God's put in our hearts as it concerns this community, this ability. Amen? And I'm speaking that, and I'm declaring that prophetically, not only over this house, but over your house, over your family, over your life, and over your spiritual destiny as too. Friend, there have been things that God has put inside of you. There have been things that God, for lack of a better word, has impregnated inside of your spirit, conceived in your spirit, promises, dreams, visions, destinies. And friend, I believe, if you'll believe with me, I believe for you, guys, it is time for you and I to give birth to the promises and the plans and the dreams and the visions of God. I am tired of carrying around a baby and not giving birth to it. I'm ready to see it give birth. Amen. And I believe I have a word from the Lord that says this year we are going to deliver the thing that God has impregnated us with, and it's time to see that harvest. Amen, somebody? time to give birth. Two things we've got to have to give birth. Number one, you got to have a team. You got to have a team. I've always been amazed at the team. I mean, man, it takes 75 people to give birth to a baby in a hospital. You know what I mean? There's nurses, there's doctors, there's anesthesiologists, there's the people taking care of the dad who's tripping out and passing out, and then when the baby comes, there's a whole other team that takes care of the baby, another team taking care of the mom. We got to have a team. Thankfully, at Red Life Church, I believe we're all part of that team. But I just want to share you a little bit about that leadership team that God has and who is. God is placed here and is helping lead the way in some of these areas and is part of this birthing team. First, we are a church made up. We have a team of elders. I want to ask the elders to come and join me on the stage right now. I'm doing this just, some of you have never known. For years, this is just, I want you to know and feel comfortable, know who you can go to, know who is helping. We have as elders my mom and dad, Sid and Beverly Bradley, Jeff and Marilyn York, and not with us today, Daryl and Judy Drake. These are our team of elders. Say, well, what do elders do? The elders serve to help guide the spiritual maturity and the spiritual health of the church, okay? I bounce ideas off of them. If I do anything that's, you know, maybe not quite as good, like there have been times I've, you know, maybe said something from the pulpit that wasn't quite, in keeping with maybe a godly attitude. We've talked about that before. And they have permission to speak over into my life, and they help me see things. But it's mostly an idea of spiritual health. Amen? Amen. Spiritual health. They're here to pray. They're praying at the altar. They're here to pray. They pray every Sunday morning before church, helping make decisions as far as what we're doing for discipleship and things like that. These are our elders in the church. The Bible says that the sick is among you, go to the elders of the church, and they will pray for you. So these are your elders that you can come and have prayer, and if you need help or whatever, they're here to serve this house. Amen? And help lead. Amen? Secondly, with our elders, we have a team of deacons, okay? And I know that's a real church you are, but this is what they are. So we call them, so the Bible calls them, so we're going to call them deacons. So we have our elders and our deacons. I want our deacons to come forward, please, if you will. You guys are here this morning. Don and Jenny, and where's Justin Andre? Justin Andre, come forward. Now, the elders deal with mostly the spiritual side of the house. Our deacons help administrate the business side of the house, so that we keep in line, making sure all the money is not getting wasted, being spent the way it needs to be spent, and going over the budget. Justin, come over here on this side with these guys, if you don't mind. Everybody scoot down. Everybody scoot way down. Why are we all on this side of the room? There we go. Okay. So the deacons help administrate the business side of the house. Scoot down a little bit. You guys can get close. You don't have to have this separation here. So come on. Not only just the business side, but just some of the practical stuff as far as like helping make sure lights are working and things are taken care of. And every one of these elders and deacons, they all, not only do they serve on that team, but serve in all the other areas of the church too. Jenny directs our preschool ministry. Don's doing sound stuff. Don was in here until I don't know how late last night pumping water out of the baptismal that we had baptism Wednesday because I broke his pump that he brought me when I tried to do it myself. It wasn't my fault. I called him. I said, Don. I said, listen, this is what happened. I said, Don, I'm going to hook this thing up. I said, it looks real simple. I said, I see two places to put a hose. I said, I put the hoses there. That's all I got to do. Turn it on, it goes, right? He said, yeah, that's it. I said, is there anything else I need to know? He said, no, you're good to go. Just punt it in and go. He's shaking his head. That's exactly what happened, Don Freeze. I'm not lying about a single word of that conversation. So I plugged it in. Listen, I plugged it in and ran for like 5 minutes and nothing happened. And I called him and said, hey, nothing's happening. Does it take a minute? He goes, no, it should go. So nothing's happening. And then he goes, do you have the out and the in right? I was like, well, you didn't say there was an out and an in when I asked you what I do. I know that you think that should be something as a man I should probably just know, but I didn't. I didn't know. And so anyway, I burn up his pump, right? Burn it up to a crisp. I'm sorry, but he fixed it because he's a great godly man and loves the Lord and loves us and loves his church. So they're taking care of all kinds of biz practical stuff, man, helping us all the time. And then not only do we have our deacons and our elders who are kind of more spiritually administrative and business administrative things and just hands-on tasks, we have our staff that is leading different areas of ministry and leading. And I want you guys to come. I want Val and Eric to come forward. Now that we're making a small, well, not really small, we're making a pretty significant change in some of our staff roles this year. This is Pastor Eric For the last 2 years, he's been leading our student ministry. And you know, part of my job as the lead pastor and the leader here is to make sure that everybody's in the position that they will have the greatest success in, and to use the gifts that God's given them to the best ability. And so I really felt like this year I wanted to move Eric away from student ministry. And so starting next Sunday, he will be not our student pastor, but our music and media pastor. And he will be leading the worship team, responsible for everything musically on the stage, also responsible for everything that you see on any screen, whether it be social media, whether it be here in the house. He's designing all that, taking care of all. He's gifted in that. Idea guys, right? I'm an idea guy. You know what I don't like? I don't like details. I'm not a details guy. I'm a, hey, here's an idea. Let's try this out. We'll just figure it out as we go along. We need somebody detail-oriented to help figure out, and Val is extremely gifted in that. Man, I believe that's who God's called to fill that role. So these are our staff that God has set up in those different roles. And then, so you say, well, what are we going to do with student ministry? Here's what we're doing with student ministry. Seb, come on down here, man. Seb and Kelsey are going to be taking over our student ministry beginning next week. So Pastor Eric will be having his last Sunday leading that, and then we're going to do a transition that third Sunday in February, and they're going to be moving into that area of ministry, I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be a great change. I think it's going to move us forward, and not just move us forward, but set us up for what God wants to do in the future. Everybody in the role, in the place of their most effective giftedness. Amen? So this is the team. This is not that we're all part of the team, but these are the roles. I think it's important if you're going to be a part of a church and part of this vision to see and know who to go to, who's doing what, and who you can talk to about different areas that you need to talk to. Amen? Amen. And we appreciate you guys, and I appreciate these guys so much and their willingness to serve and to give and to be a part of this. Kelsey couldn't be here today. Her and both of her children are sick, woke up sick today. So, but Seb made it out, and I told him he didn't have to come, but he wanted to come anyway. And so, amen. Amen. Well, can we just honor these guys, let them know we appreciate their leadership and their vision, they're willing to serve, and everything they've been doing, because they've been serving in all these roles for a very long time with little to no recognition. So this is the team that we have to help give birth along with everything you guys. You guys can sit down now. The second thing we need to give birth is this. We got to have a team, and then when you give birth to something, guess what? It's hard to give birth to a baby and watch the football game at the same time. It's hard to give birth and do anything else, isn't it? Isn't that true? Not only is it hard, it's probably impossible. Amen? I couldn't even eat when we had our fourth and final baby in Jesus' name. I couldn't even eat lunch. We sit there in the hospital down at McCullough Hyde in Oxford for hours from the morning, and nothing was happening. And I said, I'm starving. I'm going to eat. So Luann's like, I'm fine. We'll just hang out here. I went to go eat. I literally ordered my food from Chipotle. I got it out. I sat down. This is not exaggeration. I literally put the first bite of the fork in. We'd been gone 15 minutes. I got a phone call. It was her sister. Said, hey, it's time. You got to come back right now. I was like, dude, 15 minutes ago, nothing, literally nothing was happening. And I thought, do I eat? Do I eat? No, I didn't. Couldn't even eat. Can't do anything. It takes all of your focus, all of your attention. What I'm saying is this. Here's the key word I want you to take away here this morning. I'm going to be done in 2 minutes. Listen, if we're going to give birth to the promises of God, it is going to require us to be engaged in the process of giving birth. Amen. Amen. I cannot give birth to anything great in my life. I will not be, in fact, listen to me. God does not call people to participate in things that make you spectators. God only calls us to things that we are going to be engaged and active participants in. Amen? And let me just say this. When I engage, when I get involved, when I engage in God's mission, guess what? I'll experience His vision. Amen. I mean, sometimes the reason that God will give us a vision and it takes years and years, we don't see it, become to the fruition that we thought we were going to, I think it's oftentimes because in the process of making that mission a reality and doing the things that takes place to see that vision become a reality, we get disengaged in the mission, and when I get disengaged in the mission, I can't experience His vision. God doesn't give me a vision for something that's going to let me just sit back, fold my arms, not do anything at all, and just watch God's blessing fall to the sky. It just doesn't work like that, friend. Amen? any more than I can give birth to a baby. Well, no, I can't give birth to a baby at all. But any more than anybody could be involved in birthing anything and play on your phone and scroll Facebook and be kind of just there but not really there. This is not a, let me just say it this way. The kingdom of God, friend, is not a spectator sport.
That's right.
It's a participation sport. Amen? Amen. And so when I experience, when I engage God's mission, I experience his vision. How do I? So the question is, how do I engage? How do I engage? We engage with next steps. We engage with doing something. We engage with figuring out the discipleship. What do I need to do next to further my walk with God? That's how we engage in God's mission. And when I engage in that mission, guess what? I will begin to experience his vision come to fruition. I will begin to give birth to what God's had in my life. And here's my encouragement to us today. I want everybody to hear this. Listen to me. Listen to me. This isn't for everybody. There are some of you. There are many of you in this room this morning. And watching online, guys, you're a part of this thing. You are engaged. You're active participants. And I thank you and I applaud you. And I'm so humbled by you guys saying this is what God's called us to be, a part of a thing. And I'm so humbled by that. But listen, there may be some of you that really aren't engaged. Here's my encouragement to you. Stop waiting for us to be something before you get involved. Just get involved and make it be something that God wants it to be. See, sometimes we take this posture of, well, I'll get involved when it becomes something, you know, like that's worth my getting involved in. How about this? How about, because what will happen is you often sit back for a long time before you ever get involved. Right. Amen? How about instead of waiting for something to become something, how about you get involved and make it become the thing that God wants it to be? Amen? Or you might be sitting back going, well, I'm just trying to, I got this stuff that I'm working through in my life. I'm trying to make myself, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to get this thing. Listen, let me say it the other way too. Stop waiting for you to be whatever version of you that you think you have to be before you're worthy enough to be involved in God's mission. How about you just engage in God's mission now, right where you are, and watch the Holy Spirit make you and make you become what God's called you to be. Amen? Amen? Here's the reality. I can watch and wait for something to be, or I can participate and make it be something. I can either sit back and watch and just wait for something to be or wait for me to be whatever I think I'm supposed to be, or I can engage the process, I can engage the mission, and I can participate and I can make it be something. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, make it be something. Well, how do we do that? How do we engage? How do we engage? How do we engage? How do we engage reaching? How do we engage reaching? It's real simple. Engage the reaching mission first off and foremost by praying. Get on your knees and pray for us. Pray for the church. Pray for me. Pray for our team. Pray for our leaders. Pray for those who are serving in ministry. Pray for me that God will give me revelation in the words to say. Pray that God will open doors. Pray that the Holy Spirit's presence shows up every time we come together. Pray for people to engage the mission like never before. Pray, church. That's the best and first thing we can do to engage. After that, let's hit the ground. After we've done some air assault, some air strikes, let's get on the ground and let's do something. I'm holding this card. Listen, you know how you can engage our reach mission? Invite your friends and neighbors and coworkers to church. Do we have these cards? These are the most updated version. We'll probably do some new ones here in a couple of months. Listen. All you got to do is throw a few of these in your purse. Put some of them in your car. Take them with you to work. Set them on the counter somewhere. Hand them to somebody. Man, why don't you pray and say, God, show me who to give this to today. And don't chicken out on it. Just do it. Amen? These are available to you. This makes it easy. Has all of our information, service times, websites, everything. It's right there. You know how else you can help us engage the mission? And listen, I know this may sound like, I don't know. Listen, when you... If you're on Facebook and Instagram and our social outlets there, share our post. Share it. Get the message out there. Listen, I have, I don't know how many friends I've got on Facebook. Because the algorithms, they don't all see it. But here's what you do need to know. This is the hard data on the way Facebook and Instagram works. Listen, the more people that engage with a post in a particular area, the Facebook robot algorithm will see that and go, oh, this is something popular. And it's so, I know this is like super next level, like Homeland Security spy stuff, but what happens is those algorithms are keyed into different zip codes in different areas. You understand? So when Facebook sees a post from 47012 that's getting comments, that's getting likes, that's getting shares, guess what? It says, oh, other people in 47012 probably will want to see this too, and they'll start populating the people's news feeds with that. So this isn't just about share so that we can be popular. No, this is not about sharing so we can get more likes on Facebook. I could give two craps about that. Sorry. But what it is about is getting the message out there to the broadest audience that we possibly can. Because I know that out of 100 people that see that, one or two of them will respond. So that's a small percentage. That's the reality of the percentage. It's 1-2% response. If we can get that friend, we are going to be making a difference in people's lives, one or two people at a time, week by week, bit by bit, day by day. But that's part of engaging the mission in the 21st century. Amen? So share, like, respond. That's a way to invite. That's a way to push that information out. Share on social. Say, well, how do I engage that encouraging part? What do I need to do? Because man, I'm kind of discouraged myself. You know where our number one source of encouraging comes from? Guess what? It's not Sunday morning. You know where it happens? It's going to happen in life groups. Our life groups are designed to be that small group community, that small group outlet where you can find encouragement for your life, that's where the room is for you to talk with someone and get prayer from a group of friends that you begin to know and you begin to love and you begin to do life with, and they begin to love you and you know each other, and you go hang out after church and you get dinner together and lunch together, whatever, and you can say, well, I'm having a bad week, I'm struggling. That's a place for you to get prayer. It's a place for you to be encouraged. Amen? You know, some of the biggest encouragement that I've received from life groups is this. I know this is going to sound completely selfish, but listen to me close. It's this. When you get in life groups and you hear that because I think the biggest thing that we have is we often buy into the lie that we are struggling alone. Right. Something the enemy wants you to think. You are the only one going through this. You're the only one that feels this way. And when you begin to talk about this, and the problem is we don't ever put ourselves intentionally in a place to have spiritual, redeemed conversations very often. Because we're busy at work, we're busy with people who aren't saved. It's like, who can you talk about that to? You can talk about it in your life group with your church family. Amen? And when you do, when you engage there, guess what? You hear that other people feel the same way you feel, have the same doubts you doubt, are struggling some of the same ways you are. And you realize, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy. This is a common experience. That's encouraging. Amen? That's where encouragement happens. Encouragement happens. How do you engage? How do you engage and find encouragement? You get involved. You want to find encouragement? Why don't you show up to a non-Sunday event once in a while? Show up next Sunday night to the Super Bowl party. You're gonna laugh. You're gonna have a good time. It's not church. We're gonna laugh at the commercials. We're gonna yell at the screen. We're gonna cheer for the Patriots to lose. Probably many of us. And I'll be cheering for the Patriots to win just to aggravate everybody. And so we're gonna have a good time. We'll play some games. We'll play some euchre. Whatever. You're gonna get encouragement there. But to do that, I've got to engage. I've got to show up. I've got to make the effort. I've got to participate. Amen. Okay, how do I engage in my discipleship process? I don't know what my next step is. We've given you two or three. Life groups is a next step. Growth track starts next week. That's a next step. That's a way to engage your discipleship process. All right, getting involved in a CERT, coming to the next Freedom Weekend. Those are next steps. These are ways to engage. All right, and this is what I'm going to lastly say. Listen to me. Today, right now. Everybody say right now. You guys can stay on the oldest place. Fans, you guys can go on to come up. I know it's a little earlier than I told you. But it's later than I meant to go. Everybody say right now.
Right now.
Everybody say engage.
Engage.
I believe today. Some of you might be watching online, watching this later, listening to this podcast later. Some of you in the building here today, we're listening right now. Today, I believe, is the day. This is the year. This is the season. This is the time for you to engage the mission of God as it relates to this house. Some of you thought about it. You thought, well, maybe I will. Maybe I'll get more involved. Maybe, but, you know, and then something always comes up. The mission is too important for us to allow anything, whether it's hurt from the past or disagreements or confusion. It's too important to let those things stop. We can't let those things stop us from being an active participant in God's mission for our life.
That's right.
So engage. Figure out what area and how you need to. I've given you a bunch of things to do. Listen to me. My encouragement is not for you to do, I'm not telling you to do all those things. In fact, I would tell you, just do one. Just engage in one way Make a determination this year, I'm going to engage in, I'm just going to do one of those things every week or every opportunity that I get, every time it's available. I'm going to do one of those things. You make that a part of your life, guess what? Then next year rolls around, you go, you know what? I'm going to engage in another way this year. I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to get, and over the course, you'll be an active participant. Amen? Just pick one of those ways to engage and do it. Proverbs 16:3. If you could put that up there for me. It says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. We're going to end this time this morning. We're going to commit our vision, our mission to the Lord. We're going to commit all of our plans to the Lord. And we're going to believe exactly what this word has promised us, that he will bring the success. Our job is to commit. Our job is to surrender. His job is to make it succeed. Can we all just come down to the front this morning? Can we just close our time here around the altar today? We're not going to do anything spooky or weird down here, but if you're uncomfortable and don't want to come, you certainly don't have to. Don't feel pressured to. If you are coming down, let's scoot in a little close. Scoot in close. And let's just together as a church family, as a church body. What's up, buddy? As a church family, as a church body, let's commit our plans to the Lord. And we're doing this as far as it relates to Red Life Church this morning, but also want to encourage you, whatever your plans are for this year, let's commit those to the Lord. Whatever things you've been fasting about, let's take a moment here and commit those to the Lord. We're going to pray over these prayer requests that are going to be coming off this altar, and I want you guys to look out for them. Listen, when you see the Lord answer your prayers that you laid on this altar a few weeks ago, when that happens, it may be a week from now, it may be a month from now, maybe 6 months from now, it may not happen till December of this coming year, but in Jesus' name, it will happen. Amen? When it happens, you write it down, and you need to text me, email me, do whatever. Let us know so that we can have a record of God moving in our lives. Amen? It's important to remember and honor those things and celebrate those moments. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's just pray over these right now. Let's pray over these right now. Elders, come around whatever we call this thing. Lay your hands on them. Stretch your hands this way. Guys, let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we commit these prayer requests to you. Every request, every miracle that's being believed for, every soul that's being believed for, every son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter that's being prayed over right now, every job situation and family situation that needs your presence and spirit and anointing to touch it and move, every breakthrough that needs to happen, Lord, every area where we are crying out for mercy and grace where we don't deserve it, God, I pray right now that you have all, I just declare and receive right now that you have already heard, you have seen, and God, you have answered in Jesus' name. And Lord, we are going to see our prayers answered from this moment, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will do it in a way that we are, that there is no denying that it is you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And Heavenly Father, right now, every vision, every plan, every mission that you have put inside of this house, in this family of God, and this spiritual home, Lord, we right now commit it to you. Lord, everything that you have spoken to our hearts individually about what we're going to do this year in our homes, in our families, in our business, on our job, or spiritually to engage in the mission, Lord, we commit right now, as your word has said, told us to do, we commit every plan, we commit every idea, we commit every vision, we commit every dream, we commit every hope, we commit everything we're believing for. God, we surrender and we commit it to you. And Lord, we thank you that that is what we are called to do. And I pray that you will help us to live committed, live with those things surrendered. And Lord, we thank you in advance and we praise you that you are going to cause those things to succeed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, every area that you're calling us to engage and participate, let us do it with boldness, with passion, and with excellence, Lord. And we commit all those things to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, I thank you, I thank you that, God, we are giving birth to your promise. We are delivering your vision. We are delivering your dream that you have placed on the inside of each and every one of us this year. And we say, Lord, let it be done. Let it be done. In Jesus' precious name I pray.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.